Hi there, everybody. This is Sean.
This is Justin.
And this is our nude podcast. Our it did come across that way, didn't it? Yes. This is our new podcast, The Dot Matrix, Episode 1. Justin, why don't you tell the listeners what that means?
Sure. Oh, well, it's not exactly our... It's our... I think it's episode 1.1, don't you think?
Like one, yes.
We did try to launch our podcast a few weeks ago, and our levels were way off, and now
yes.
I think after sufficient testing, we were now ready to go on this one, which is now our new inaugural podcast. But it is called The Dot Matrix, and it's a name that we came up with for our podcast, which we hope you'll be listening to on a regular basis. And we kind of wanted a name that, I mean, over the next couple of times, you know, all over the series of our podcast, depending on how long we keep interested in this, hopefully we do keep interested in this for a while, is, I mean, we're just going to be, you know, two guys who've known each other pretty much
all our lives,
you know, out here on the west coast of Canada, out in Vancouver, just, you know, talking about stuff, making sense of the worlds in which we live, and I mean, Sean and I are very... similar, in, I think, as people and stuff, but we also live very different, disparate kind of, you know, lives outside of when we aren't together as friends and hanging out. So we wanted to share some of that that conversation that we kind of tend to have with each other, with our friends, talking about a whole bunch of different things, like, you know, some frivolous stuff and some very important stuff in the news and just what's going on in our lives. We just think it's kind of interesting and we hope you guys will too. And so the whole dot matrix idea as a name kind of comes up from a couple of different ways. One, it refers to the generation in which we were in, which is like the 80s. I mean, we grew up in the 80s, although we were born in the 70s. and you know, the dot matrix printer back in the day. So we wanted to have that kind of retro reference.
Exactly.
And make people interested. Well, what is that all about? And also just, I mean, the words dot and matrix kind of at least rung to me around the idea that what we're going to do is, you know, talk about life and the different dots that make up the world and the world we live in and the lives we lead. And how do we connect them together again? There's so much that goes on in the world where we're disconnecting the dots or we live in silos or we just don't understand each other. And I think part of what I love about having, you know, conversations with Sean is we spend some time thinking about that and how the dots connect together. And then the whole term matrix kind of is about that. It's about how do you make sense of it, right? I mean, it's one of the tools people use in either scientific studies or whatever you want to say, or analysis, to make sense of things. So I don't know if that makes a good description of what we do or what we're supposed to be trying to do with our podcast.
I think people will get that. I mean, I do think of Keanu at times.
Yes,
when we
the Matrix.
Talk about it. But Matrix is a good name, I think. And we'll definitely be connecting the dots along the podcast and as we go along. So,
You should tell the world out there about yourself, because we know about each other really well, I'm sure.
I think we like to tell each other about each other a lot, actually.
That was a very subdued laugh. I have to just say that.
Yeah, we're trying to keep the levels nice and even here, so...
So tell us about you, Sean.
Okay.
Who is Sean?
Who is Sean? Sean is 30, as you are.
Oh, thanks.
And we both grew up in Richmond, BC, which is the city below Vancouver, for all those international listeners that don't know. I am currently working in visual effects. I'm a visual effects coordinator and for TV and film. And as well, musician, probably first and foremost, as I've been doing that for the longest. Drummer, I play in two bands, The Nine Circa and Glowing Hearts.
Woohoo!
And lots of fun. I really enjoy that. And I'm also now playing a synth in Cult de Cargo, which is a newer band that we're getting together and doing really well. So we really enjoy it. And what else can I tell about myself? I have a lovely wife, Elaine, and a lovely Dexter dog. So I think that about sums me up. What about you, Justin?
You know, I'm so glad you just kept going on. I'm like, no, I don't. I have time to think of a way I want to say. Well, you know, I mean, okay, yeah.
Yeah, what do you do?
What
Justin?
Do I do? I work in nonprofit and community organizations and have since I started working in, like, the real world, you know, after leaving school. And so that's where a lot of my time is spent. I do a lot of volunteering in community organizations, either serving on board of directors and stuff. But I do a lot of actually fascinating work with the organizations that I work with. And it's a lot of interesting, like just good business development stuff with helping organizations do things that they can, like purchasing, how you can do, you know, purchasing power when you have not just one organization doing it, but like 100 organizations together. Mm-hmm. And how do you save money and in that way, in a more using business tools to help sort of communities in that sense. So, I mean, that's sort of a broad stroke thing, a description of what I do. Otherwise, you know,
tell us about Justin.
Yes. Well, so you were very nice to divulge your marital status, so I guess I'll say that I'm not married.
And not I'll just yet.
Oh, not even close. Well, unless there's a anyway. Oh, I don't want to say anything on the record. It's gonna come back to haunt me. But yeah, far from the marriage area.
You're out there looking.
Of course, always. Yes. I'm always open to the possibilities.
Of course.
Never reassured about success rates, but always open to the possibility.
You never know.
That is true. I spent an amazing month in Italy this summer, which
yes.
I just changed my life entirely. And actually, this year, which is 2007, has been pretty phenomenal, like just changes all over. And when you, when I think about, I mean, we'll do podcasts near the end of the year, sort of summarizing our year, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I'll sort of save it for that, but just, I just remember January 1 thinking to myself, you know, Justin, you have to admit to yourself that you're not exactly happy. Like, and be open to say that, you know, like,
I think
a lot of times we live in a great country,
yeah.
a great city. Great friends, you know, a good job, you know,
much to complain about.
Complain about. So, but this, so you kind of feel guilty about admitting to yourself that things aren't right or things aren't right, you know, and are happy or whatever. And I don't know, I think it's a powerful thing when you can actually admit that to yourself and then that way you can make changes, right? So that was all about my year. And that's, I don't know, I'll end talking about myself with that, I guess. I don't know what other interesting thing. There isn't really much else. I mean, there's a lot of else interesting things, I'm sure, but...
And I think those will come about as we discuss more and do more episodes.
I don't play in any bands, but I come to see your bands.
Yes,
as much as I can.
Well, you've been there many times, and you came to our first Cult Cargo show, which is quite the event, I would say, and we're really pleased that you were able to make it, so...
Oh, I had such a... last at that show.
Right on. You didn't do too much blow, so that was good.
Yeah, no. I just had just the right amount.
Well, that's good. So we talked about ourselves. We talked about why we're doing this.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be taking on different formats and different ways of doing things as time goes on. But we also just want to get to the main body of the podcast, which is... largely going to be current events or just funny things or things that interest us. Because if it doesn't interest us,
then
we're going to talk about it.
But, we've got a list. I mean, if you could see us right now, we've got this beautifully written list of topics in which we wanted to discuss. And, I mean, we're trying to be a bit more formal this first one just because...
Yeah.
We just want to make sure there's not much dead air. But...
dead air for us? Come on.
I know.
That never happens.
That is true. But, I mean, eventually, I mean, the idea is we just want to have a nice, you know, glimpse. We want to give people a glimpse of what it is like when, you know, if you're, oops, if you're like, I just hit my hand on the desk. That's what that noise was. But I'm not bleeding profusely or anything, so that's okay. But we want to, what was I saying? Yeah, we want to give people a glimpse sort of what it is when we get together and have a conversation, which I know I always come away feeling energized or thinking like, oh, I never thought about things that way. Or, you know, so I'm hopefully thinking at the end of, you know, what will be hopefully between 20 and 30 minutes of a podcast that you'll kind of finish listening going, oh yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there was an angle I didn't think about perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, topics, and we're going to start the first one, right?
Yes.
And it was funny, we actually had talked some really good stuff in our, you know, podcast that never was, but I think we got some interesting topics. For the first one we want to talk about, something that was just really on our minds,
yeah,
which was dinner. Food. Sean and I and Elaine and a few of our friends were at our friend Steven's restaurant.
Yes.
Which is in a very prestigious, or pretty prestigious, I don't know, very or pretty, I don't know what the hierarchy is. It's up there, yeah. Hotels in downtown Vancouver. And he said, you know, well, we wanted to go. He's had this job for a number of months now, mm-hmm. and he's a sous chef there. If you know the hierarchies of the kitchen. And we were going to go there just to have dinner, and we wanted to support him in his new place. And he said, you know, yeah, come on by, we'll make a reservation and do a chef's table, which was kind of cool.
Table.
So I wore my adult clothes that night. And
you looked mighty fine.
Oh, thank you.
I say so myself.
So did you.
Yes, thank you.
And then he just said, we're not going to, you know, no menus. He's just going to prepare us mm-hmm. dinner.
Right.
And, you know, what was your impression?
Oh, it was just stunning. I mean, just even the first plate was a duck, a taste of duck. And it was like I'd never tasted it before. I didn't know it could taste like that. It was just absolutely marvelous. And it just went from there. I believe it was 10 courses.
Yes, 10 courses.
We just like, wow, we were amazed. We knew it was going to be good, really good, but I think it exceeded our expectations, I think.
And it was great because it seemed like it was therapeutic for everyone involved. I mean, we had
yeah.
a great time. It was 4.5 hours of,
yes.
of a dinner experience, which in itself, I'll get to that point. I want to talk about that
mm-hmm.
point in itself later. But, you know, the wait staff was very intrigued every time something came out because there was nothing on the menu and they were
right.
interested in what was going on. Steve was saying that the staff in the kitchen and the cooks and the chefs in the back were interested and keen to do this because they, you know, when you have a menu and you make the same
mm-hmm.
stuff over and over again, it's always kind of fun to be more creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so much fun. And it was a great view into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Great company, great conversation, like just like this.
It was a small group.
It's a small group.
And sometimes that's nice. It can be a little more intimate.
Right.
We ordered a bottle of wine, and we realized that they were out, so they upgraded us, which
yes.
is nice, too.
Yeah.
So everything was really tip-top. I think even the other people dining were like, why is the chef keep coming, the sous chef keep coming out to visit us? Like,
right.
what's up with those guys over there?
Yeah. And just, the whole 4.5 hour dinner thing, it's so civilized. and I've said this many times in private in conversations with Sean, but never on a podcast. So this will be an inaugural commentary on this issue
yes.
in a podcast form for me. It's just, when I think about, like, you know, the way dinner and meals are structured in a social context in North America, at least in Canada, and probably the United States too, at least, you know, it's an early dinner, 6 o'clock, whatever, you do it in an hour, you get out of the restaurant, and it's a stepping stone to whatever you're doing the night, whether
yeah.
you're going to a movie, you're going
yeah.
to a play, you're going to a concert, you know, dinner is always part of an evening.
Right.
You know, and, but in every other culture that's, you know, that has dinner and going out as a big part of what they do in their communities, like, it's an event, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to Italy or Spain, and it's dinner at 8 or 9 or 10, and it's the event. You go out, and that's what you do. You get together your friends. It's
yeah.
not about going out to dinner quickly and then going to a club and trying to chat and trying to connect with people,
and
you know? Like,
raising your voice over loud music, and it's
yeah.
just not the same.
It's so, like, I mean, you were saying at dinner, too, how it's a precious moment, you know, to have this
mm-hmm.
great opportunity with great food, great conversation. I mean, it doesn't happen every day.
Well, it was certainly a privilege, and thanks, Stephen, again, because I think, you know, sitting there enjoying ourselves, enjoying the food, enjoying the conversation, for it all to happen that way, not knowing what's going to come out, I think was a really big part of it, too.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, the staff themselves were surprised. They didn't know what was going to happen. They probably just saw it just before it came out, you know?
Right.
But the dessert, I have to say, was amazing. The goat cheesecake with the strawberry, the coffee creme brulee, and that chocolate dish. What was more specific about that one? Do you remember?
It was a creme fraiche on top with the strawberry, and
yeah,
it was just a nice dense but moist cake.
And I found that it wasn't too sweet, any of those. Did you? Like,
no, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Yeah, so we really enjoyed dinner, and we probably do it maybe again another 6 months, maybe.
Yeah. You can't do it every day, but, you know.
That's right. Because I think we ate, like, kings and queens. Yeah.
And the one thing I want to talk about that's not on our list, but
oh,
it stems
yeah?
from dinner, because I was thinking about this, is when we were having dinner, there was, like, this 11-person party, right? And they were there. They had a dinner reservation at the restaurant, and and Steve was talking to us, like, you know, and that it was just on the books as an 11-person reservation. And then, of course, it was a wedding reception.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
And when we think about, and so the topic for me now, we're shifting, is weddings.
Let's do it. Yeah. Weddings. Let's
and,
go.
And I know, Sean, you know, you have opinions
on it. Oh,
that's
why you wanted to bring it.
Yes, I do. But just because I just thought, and it sort of made me challenge myself, my thinking about a wedding and how you do it in a reception. Like, I believe, I don't know if you believe or not believe, but I'm actually in favor of, like, the whole institution of marriage. I'm a traditionalist in that sense, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it was just great to sort of see this group, you know, they just made a reservation. They had gotten married, and 11 people, so their closest friends and family were there
sure.
at this table, having a great time. They just ordered from the menu. It wasn't like, you know, what's the first course? What's the second course? What's the, you know, when's the cake going to be cut and all that? It was just, and it was, everyone's having a hoot. They were having probably one of the best times of the tables, other than our table, in that restaurant. And
yeah.
and I, for some reason, I didn't quite clue in. I think I even said to you, so, is that woman wearing a wedding dress? And you're like, yeah, it's a reception. I'm like, I didn't even clue into that until you said that.
Yeah.
And I know Steve was saying that, oh, you know, I wish he had known that it was a wedding reception so he could have done at least something for them, a little bit special. But I don't think that's what they wanted. They just wanted to have a good dinner after they got married and have a good time.
A good dinner, almost maybe pretty relaxed, uninterrupted. Because I think it was just bridegroom, bridesmaid, probably best man, and then
parents
of honor,
and
rather.
Grandparents.
Parents and grandparents. So
yeah.
I think when you get those, I mean, yeah, you probably want to invite all 400 of your friends, but at the end of the day, when you get down to dinner and stuff, you know, you spend most of the time socializing, but I think these people actually enjoyed the food and the wine, obviously, because it was really great. But like you said, it was more intimate. It was more about the experience, more about that was the event in itself instead
right.
of getting to the wedding games or
right.
the blindfolds and all
right.
that stuff.
I mean, that all is great. I mean, we've been doing some weddings recently, you know, in the last number of years where it's
yeah.
been some games and, you know, some
yeah.
pomp and some circumstance, which are still great. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
all great.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really, when I could see it in front of me, I was like, you know, there's something to be said about that. Small,
nice.
Intimate,
yeah.
informal. And I love the idea where it's like, it's not, I mean, it's supposed to be about the marriage, not about the organization of it all.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just figure at some point, how do you figure this out where you can have that yet still in my mind, which I, if I was ever to get married,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to invite 500 people, everyone who ever even knew
yeah.
me, because I want to prove to the world that, hey, I can actually get married and this is actually happening and I need witnesses for this rare event. It's sort of like, you know, when Halley's Comet goes by, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's sort of, that's my mentality in
yeah.
that. So how do you rectify, I don't know how to do it yet, so I haven't quite figured it out, but just, it was a thought in my head about that. Like,
that's interesting,
you know?
that dinner they're having led to all those events in your head.
Yeah.
And all those thoughts. And may I say, great exaggerations. But I think I know why you brought this up, because you know that I'm known for being not exactly pro-institution of marriage.
Yes, Sean and I mean, just some historical context, we agree on a lot of things.
Most things.
But a few very clear things we don't agree on, Candace Bergen being one.
That's right.
And marriage being another, and there's
a few things,
a few
like
other
hot
things.
Chocolate types and
yes,
things.
Yes, yes.
But I think for me, I'm always conflicted. Not conflicted. Because I always am clear in my mind. But I think people think I'm anti-marriage, but at the end of the day, I've been to a lot of my friends and family's special ceremonies and receptions, and they've been amazing experiences, and of course, it was a privilege to be there, and I was extremely happy, but I think when it comes to myself and Elaine, I think we see a lot of that as, for ourselves, as kind of just, I hate to say it, but unnecessary for ourselves, because I think a true union is starts in the soul and the spirit, and as it does for everyone, and it just doesn't have to go beyond that, and I think most other people like to take it the step beyond that, which means the ceremony, the reception,
right.
The games, the flowers, everything,
you know. See, and where I would get confused with your point of view, so I can, and I think that's a total valid point. I think people spend way too much money and way too much stress on the process of getting married.
Yeah.
And what the you know, the semantics of stage one, step two, step three, whatever, those kind of things. But, like, I wonder what your opinion is on, like, I mean, so,
gay marriage? No, it's joking.
Well, we can get into that, but like, there's a difference between all of that, and then just, you know, like, going to the, you know, justice of the peace, just
and
getting,
just
it,
getting
done,
it done,
like,
right.
Like,
yep,
like,
I get asked that a lot,
and,
actually.
And I'm still, we've talked about this, and maybe I just, for the record, so I can hear it over and over again on the podcast when I have it downloaded on my iPod, is, are you in favor of that? Would you just get it done legally? Like, there's the circumstance piece, and then there's the legality of it,
right?
You know?
I think, if anything, that's the part I would abstain from the most, actually, because we would both love the party, we'd love the dinner, we'd love the getting together, but we do that often anyway.
Right.
It's for us, it sounds like a bit of a rebellion, maybe, I don't know, but it's more like there's no having to prove it to any government body, state, or religious body, or anything. I think there's been a lot of successful couples that didn't have to go through the process that was set out by society at one point that we're all kind of following, because it's a huge industry now, right? And it's been for many years. So I think it's...
But now you're switching
back
to the industry piece, which is the process, and I want to keep it to the legal piece, right?
That makes sense. And yeah, well, I don't think legal... really,
I think this is the point where I think you and I kind of differ. Like, I mean, in the process, in the industry piece, I think we kind of have a sense, and I would, in the end, be more willing to spend more money on it than you, but I think our ideology about that it's, you know, it's an industry and it's way too much, you know, like, I think we kind of are in sync about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the legality piece, I really like.
You
and
like?
Maybe because I'm traditional in this sense, you know, and maybe because I'm naive, because I'm not in any situation where it could even be remotely leading to that stage of my life to actually get married. So maybe I'm just not in that reference point, but I find something very romantic about, and I've said this before, and I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I find something terribly romantic about putting legal barriers for your separation and setting that in stone in some fashion, legal fashion, you know? I love to say, like, I love you, and I love you to such a degree that I'm going to make it harder for us
to separate. Interesting.
Like, I find there's something poetic and beautiful and romantic about that statement and that legal statement, because if you don't have that, and you're a common law or what have you, and then you separate, you know, the law, you know, you can just separate, right? I mean...
That's true.
Right?
Yeah,
and so I don't know. You're saying such a statement of confirmation of your love and your commitment to that person that you're going to put, you know, shackles or whatever, metaphorical shackles on each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that's interesting point of view.
And I never thought it. And then for some reason, and when I think about it in my head, that's sort of in the end where my head is.
It's
interesting. Interesting.
I've never actually thought about it from that angle. I don't think. I think. It's because all that, it's just that's the kind of the unnecessary bits. I find real romance in actually being able to tell someone that we're married, yet I couldn't show a piece of paper to prove it.
Right.
We bought rings. That's probably the closest thing to the whole procedure, if you will. But But yeah, that's my stance, and I don't know if I cleared it up, but we will talk about that again.
Yes,
but
of course.
I think there's a lot of other topics that
yes,
we can probably
because you
tear
talked
into.
And we will, I mean, I definitely want, we should have sort of gay marriage on our list of things to talk about in the future. But if we start to get into that now, we have like 5 minutes left, there's never going to get to it. But one thing I do want to get to is the taser thing, because that's really current.
Okay.
And
yep. That's a good idea, yeah.
And just, I mean, I don't know if, I mean, it's actually been making news around the world, this footage
mm-hmm.
of a man from Poland immigrating to Canada,
mm-hmm.
coming to Vancouver Airport, just getting totally confused and can't figure out the process to get through immigration. Is in the airport for almost like 9 hours or plus, and it's just frustrated and what have you, and then basically gets tasered by police,
yep.
by the RCMP, and dies. and there, I mean, that happened probably a month or so ago from when we're recording this now, this podcast now, but the video of that someone was there and videotaped it,
right.
And that video was released only a couple of days ago, and it's just, it really has sent shockwaves. At least around the world, and especially
yeah.
around, I mean, we've talked about, I think about it, like, you watch that video, you can't help but have a reaction to it.
So you actually saw the whole video?
Yeah.
I keep thinking about watching it just to know how bad it is, because I read descriptions, I see stills. I haven't been able to get myself to watch it yet. However, I don't know if I'd be able to really handle it. I think I'd be despondent. But I think we both agree on this one, for the most part. But not to make this a really heavy part of the podcast, but I think there was some injustice here, and it was a sad thing to happen, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleared up about our law enforcement, and a lot of stuff figured out based on this.
And what I think is really weird is that there's just, or what's really disturbing to me is that there's so many inconsistencies between what you finally see on this video and what was being said by authorities. Like, he was
yes.
confrontational, he continued to be combative once shocked, none of that was on the video,
no.
and yet that discrepancy still remains, no one's saying anything more, and
yeah.
the only thing that they've said is that, oh, well, that's only one view, one lens. I'm like, well, what, you want it from the other side so you can see his eyes when it's happening? Like, there's...
Yeah, I don't buy that when people say, sorry to interrupt,
no,
but
no.
I don't buy that when people say that's, you can't judge it just on the video. It's like, well, that's, how many other crimes would we have liked to have had video for, you know?
And, I mean, like, okay, on one side, it looks like he's pulling away, and he's just frustrated, he has no weapon, he's not charging anyone.
Yeah.
So what, if we see it from another angle, he's going to show something, he's going to have a machete in his hand, you know, like, it just doesn't make sense. And I know there's, like, you know, circumstance in terms of maybe what was being said, but I'm sure
yeah.
they... Nothing was being said because they couldn't communicate with each other. So.
Well, I think even down to, like, the cops saying how many of them were there, they said three, and then there was clearly four, and just the time, the chronology of the event
yeah.
was just differed from the statement before everyone saw it. I think it's important that the video's in the public domain because, and as hard to watch and difficult it is, but it gives people a real sense that, you know, we can't have a blind faith in our law enforcement, just as we can in our governments and so on. I think it's a real tragedy, and I think for us, because we live here, it's really shocking because
right.
it's our airport.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and one thing I mentioned to you earlier was I think, or some other people I think I was talking with, I think it's because it was an airport. I think it's because of obvious in recent past the events, terrorist events that. If this was in a corner store or if this was in a somewhere else on the street,
right.
I don't think it quite would have transpired this way,
right.
but it's, I think cops now there's some good cops. Don't get me wrong. But
what?
I think they look at this and they think, oh, this is one of those guys that we just got to stop
right.
Come hell or high water.
Well,
right?
And there's a lot of other angles, and I know we're getting closer to 30 minutes, but I do want to finish this
mm-hmm,
conversation
sure,
because
sure.
there's other angles where, I mean, there was no way he should have been waiting and not knowing what to happen for 9 hours.
Exactly.
And there's like 5 hour periods where he goes from checkpoint one to checkpoint two
right.
on the immigration process, like,
yeah.
or whatever long it was, and then his mother going to the various information desks where the green coat volunteers are. Like, there was a failure in many, many
oh.
systems. And if you're
yes.
talking, especially like you said, it's an international airport. you should be prepared to deal with different languages on a moment's notice fairly quickly, you know?
At least by telephone.
And I don't understand, like, and this is the one thing that we said off the podcast before when we were prepping for it, was like, when you have the CEO of the, or the chairman of the airport authority or whatever,
mm-hmm.
saying to the press, you know, when he's asked, you know, are you embarrassed by this?
Mm.
And he's saying, no, we've got strong protocols, I'm not embarrassed. Like, you really should be. I mean, it doesn't, people should be grown up and just say,
yeah.
you know, something really failed here. Someone died.
Yeah.
And like, you should be, like, I think the public wants to know that people
be affected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, like, I don't know, maybe I misread this, but I it kind of looked like he kind of had a bit of a smirk on his face, or,
yeah.
like, he, like, I mean, I don't want to say anything about, you know, like,
his
elude something
or elude yeah.
anything,
yeah.
but it was just not the reaction you would expect from someone who's running an organization or a facility where someone has died under these extreme circumstances.
Yes.
Like, it was...
very unique and rare circumstances.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I think you should feel shocked. You should be open enough to say, you know, I don't know what happened here. We're going to figure this out. I mean, he was in front of the press with these charts and trying to explain the whole thing. Don't explain it away, because there's so many unanswered things that people aren't explaining. Like,
exactly.
Just go up there and, you know, be frank. Like, I mean, maybe I'm looking at this in a PR stance in some ways, right? Like, you
yeah.
want, one, all those different circumstances. Two, the police had that video for how many weeks, and then finally they released it, yet now they seem like they're scrambling about what the reaction, and you should know what the reaction to the public, given the discrepancy between the video and what you're saying, like, from the day to the when the video was finally released.
Right.
You should have had that all figured out already, but none of that was figured out. So maybe for me it's I'm in kind of communications and that kind of work that I do with nonprofits, so I keep that in my head, but that it was a real failure in that end for everyone involved.
Well, I was just really amazed by the one fact that he had to threaten to sue to get the guy who took it had
right.
threatened to sue to get it back. He was told, according to reports, he was told that it would be up to 2 years before he got it back, and I think that's just insane. So, you know, it just goes to show that they're organized. Sometimes the RCMP, there's some problems, and they have to be figured out. But I think we want to just proceed with our final thoughts here.
Yeah.
Is there
preview, though, I do want to mention is
okay.
we have TP. And I have to just say...
Oh, of course, like, yes. Let's do that.
You guys are in the middle of using your TP as in toilet paper. Your gigantic
yes.
4 times the size roll
yes.
that we discovered when we were at our friend's house. And... I was using the washroom. I won't go into those details. Then I came out and I said to Cheryl, I said, Cheryl, you've got the biggest toilet paper roll I've ever seen in my life. And so she proceeds to give me one that she and her husband had bought. And so I'm yet to use it, but we do want to say in this podcast that eventually, well, you've already started one, so maybe
yes.
you can start another roll and you could do it in your own countdown. But
sure,
I will start a countdown myself when I finally use this quadruple roll. And we'll count down how long it takes to use.
Right on. I have to admit, it didn't seem to go the length that it probably would. I'll just say that.
You're a messy
toilet
person.
It is soft, it's durable, and it rocks. So thanks, Cheryl, for showing us.
And thanks, Charmin. Is that the brand?
I think it's Charmin. Yeah, I'm pretty positive, yeah. We went to London Drugs straight after that.
They better be our first corporate sponsor, Charmin,
yeah.
at some point. But yeah, okay, final thoughts. I mean, we are slightly over time, but it's not
yeah.
bad. It's our first
it's
one.
Our first
you know,
show.
And we promise as you commit to downloading our podcast and subscribing that we will... keep it between 20 and 30. That's our goal, right?
Yeah.
It's 20 and 30, because I think that's a nice size for a podcast, and I think
so.
That's about as much time people can have of us, right?
And once you start downloading our shows, you'll just have to subscribe. You won't be able to stop. It'll just be that interesting.
So final thoughts. Yeah, so you asked me what?
Well, I was thinking, is there any idea that you had a thought on, or something we talked about today, or just something totally separate?
No.
I think maybe I'll just say, please. I think our podcast went well, and
hope you guys enjoyed the listen.
We were able to do our premiere episode for the second time, but but that's okay, you know, because we're getting used to it. We did a lot more sonic tests, so this is gonna be a lot of fun, and I hope everyone enjoys it, and
Oh, and apologies to blindside you with that wedding conversation. I just sort of, when we talked about dinner, I sort of, it really went to that in my head, so I just wanted to bring that up. So.
We will talk more about that. That's what all this is about, and it's about showing the difference in opinion between us, too, because if we disagreed on everything, and, you know, there's some heavier things we disagree about, but
yes.
I think, don't get me wrong out there, I think marriage is a wonderful thing, but... But I think, and, you know, we will talk about the gay marriage issue because I think that's really important. And
that's what we should call this podcast. Episode one, quote, marriage is a wonderful, don't get me wrong, marriage is a wonderful thing, quote.
Quote.
That should be, I swear, that's the name of it. We label our podcast that for this one, first one.
That's a really great idea. And then, yeah, we'll think of names, we'll get music going, and well, by the time you hear this, you'll probably hear music. So we'll figure out all the other details of the logistics, so.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully you found a little nugget of something, of insight, or something connected the dot for yourself in your head or something. And
yeah,
and we look forward to doing this again.
Right on. Okay, well, so long, and we'll think of a better outro quote, but have a good night, and this is Sean and
Justin
for the Dot Matrix.